This episode is brought to you by the European Coworking Assembly. We are everything Coworking Europe. If you head to the Coworking Assembly website, you can connect with our Rural Coworking, European Freelancers Week, Coworking Symposium, Coworking Library, and Coworking Tools.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this week's Coworking Values podcast. We're having so much fun here in the HQ of the Coworking Values podcast because we have new people coming to record episodes and host episodes, and we're doing little series off the line here. So it's a little bit more disjointed than we'd like it to be, but we're going to have our best year ever here on the Coworking Values podcast. So today I have Simone, who I've been following around on Twitter and you're one of those people who's been in the ecosystem and I keep on meaning to connect with, and I just thought I'm going to connect with her. Here we go. So Simone, what are you known for and what would you like to be known for?
Hi Bernie, first of all, very nice meeting you. It's such an honor to be here today. You have been one of my co-working idols or grandfathers, how I always say. And what I'm known for, I don't know, hopefully for my personal values and optimism about life. But besides that, I'm working as a co-working and community consultant, and I'm living at the moment in Lisbon. And I heard you know Lisbon, so Lisbon is very small, and we're like a big co-working family in a small city close to the ocean.
That's just before we came on air, we were fanboying and fangirling Fernando and Anna from I still have the sticker from Coworking Lisbon where it says it's not about work anymore on my computer. So that was a defining visit. So I'm really interested in your opinions about and ideas about community and co-working. And one of the things I wanted to ask is how do you think that community's changed? Like in 2019, there was what we were talking about. We need to get more members and, you know, build our mm-hmm. co-working space, and everything was in real life. And then the pandemic occurred or hit. So that was like 2 years of people doing very different things in co-working, and now we're back. Mm-hmm. And as you travel around the world, how do you feel the sense of community around a co-working space has changed or evolved, or maybe is it just gone back to what it was?
So I think that's a very big question. Well, I would say that if we would just focus now on the topic of co-working, that community and co-working communities before the pandemic have been a kind of alternative lifestyle, I would say. Very close, and I think that the pandemic just came in the right timing, because now we have like way more inclusive communities. I see popping up co-working spaces literally everywhere with different kind of purposes. And what I really like about it is that now we finally can put co-working values into practice to be more inclusive, to host not only digital nomads people that get together in a kind of co-living situation. Now we can also include corporates. We include new entrepreneurs and so on. So I think that community changed over time and became way more inclusive and diverse as it has been like many years ago.
I think that too. I sometimes wonder if it's because I'm in this echo chamber of inclusivity and people are talking the same thing, because it could be. But I just find the co-working, whether you're a big shiny space or a little community space, the co-working industry, apart from events actually, because they're still very mm-hmm. full of white men talking about co-working, but mm-hmm. the actual, at the ground level, there's a very inclusive atmosphere going on.
Yeah, definitely. I have some clients actually at the moment in Caribbean and also in Nigeria. And it's very interesting because there is some very often co-working happens without they even know it. Recently, I was talking to a person and he told me that his father who died had like a big property in Nigeria. And because he was becoming an old man, he just invited all these people to his property and they started literally a co-working space in his house. They became like a kind of incubator hub in Nigeria. And after his death, like his son was thinking like, what are gonna do now? Because all these people left. So he started realizing that this social synergies his father created inside of his own property were actually a community, and that people are very much looking for these kind of things. And it was very interesting to talk with people all around the world about their co-working opinions. And you know, sometimes people think it's super complex and super difficult, but in the end, I think it always goes back to basics and to, human understanding.
There's a lot of people we both know who have started a co-working space because they needed a space to work and they had a group of people around them.
Because there's
like people who start a business because they want to sell desks, and there's, you know, nothing wrong with that, folks. But then there's people who find a place to work and invite other people. Can you say a little bit about what you think about the difference between those two are?
Oh, well, I think I have a very strong opinion about that. I'm not a big fan of office facilitators, putting people into place where you only have like a screen and a desk. I think it's like similar to the discussion, what was there first, the chicken or the egg? So it's like, what was there first, the co-working space or the community? But I really believe that the community is everything, and community I see as an organism. It's evolving, it's growing, and in the optimal case, growing on its own. So, of course, I mean, to make business, you always need to have a need and a demand in the market. But if you just give it a little bit of freedom to unfold on its own, I think this is the best start for a co-working community and in the end, a really big co-working business.
Yeah, that was one of the things I was going to ask you is, everyone I've ever worked with in co-working that's opening a new co-working space or a shared workspace, there's this, whether they actually say it directly or not, there's this panic about, oh my God, I need to make a community. And I've been, yes. And I've done it too with many projects as well. So I'm guilty as well. But many times I've sat down and there's been a new co-working space and there's been two people that have brought a desk in there. And then the co-working space owner will say, oh, it's all about the community here at, you know, Simone Hub. We're all about community. And it's like, so where
that
is the community?
That would be an interesting name. I think community is in common sense, no? And people are different. So you can find community in many forms. Where is the community? Often, unfortunately, you see community when it's not there anymore. That's the big challenge for co-working operators and community managers to actually try to identify the structures within their organization that build in the end community and to reinforce these kind of practices.
So when, if someone's starting a new space, what would you advise? Like, because there's a thing about like the first few people you get through the door, and reality of the economic situation, because you need to get people to come in to, you know, book desks and book events and buy memberships. So you don't close and can feed your family. Mm-hmm. And then there's how you would curate the community. So, you know, What would you? I know it's easier when you see your space, but what would you advise people?
Yeah. You know, I'm a community consultant. I'm also leading a nonprofit organization, and there it's, everything is about community, because if people are not engaged and not committed, nothing is happening, yeah? Because people don't earn money. But me as a co-working community consultant, I often have clients, they come to me and then they present me a calculation of their fixed costs and planned revenue streams and showing me plans of their building. And that's all fine. And we have a look. Of course, there is always a specific need and specific things you can do with. But I always go back to this question, what is your original story? And what are your personal values? And from this point, we start. Because if you want to build up a community, you are promoter number one. And if you don't know your original story, why you started this in the very beginning, you will never be an authentic person that can transport the message to other people to inspire them to join you. It's my opinion. So I always start with this question. What is your original story?
I'm going to have to take a few seconds to get really excited. I think it is. It's a bit of a marketing cliche. Like, what's the story? But saying the way what you just said occurs to me is that the owner or the instigator or the beginner will say, you know, this is what my space is about. And if it really connects with me as a new member, I can be able to go and tell that to people very, very easily. But if I have to go, well, it's sort of like this and that, you know, it doesn't flow. So mm-hmm. It's easy to, I mean,
yeah,
you know,
of course, everything, if you plan it well out, everything works. I mean, I'm German. We're really structured. We're really rational about business in general. So if you plan something out, you have investment and you know where to get investment. And many people don't know that. But if you know where to get investment and you plan everything out, it will work in a small scope or in a big scope. But it will not work long term. So you will always reach the point where you go back to these initial questions because you have to figure out things, because you are getting, for example, desperate that your community doesn't grow organically because your community doesn't know who they am. So sooner or later, you always come back to this question.
a discussion we have a lot with different people is like who makes those values, and so who in a business, who do you think comes up, who would you recommend comes up with the values?
Interesting question. I think that and this is also what my own research supported, is that in the beginning, of course, you come up with the values, but then after letting people in, I think you should be very open to listen to the people that actually fill up your space, because these people also bring values. And then it's about identifying if there are like certain discrepancies or what kind of alignments you have, so that you can build this kind of common sense, which is like, in my opinion, super needed in any community. And so I would say it's like a ping pong, you know, it's like, in the beginning, your values, then the values of your members, and then you play the ping pong game.
Yeah, I love the way you keep on referring to it as common sense, because it is a lot of things are common sense. When you have to, well, for me, you know, when I have to like go back and check the values and see if they're, and look them up on Wikipedia and check what the word means, it becomes a very like academic technical exercise. If it's like, you know, be nice to everybody, you know, that's in line.
Yes.
Thing I want to jump to is the bit we were talking about before we started recording about member retention, which mm-hmm. just keeping members. I don't like the word retention. I know what you mean, but it's when you say, when people talk about customer acquisition, mm-hmm. I don't want to be acquired by a co-working space. I want to join a co-working space. So It's very funny language, which I use without thinking. But can you give us your take on
Yeah, of course.
The member journey and retaining, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. So I think the member journey and is very related to the term of member retention. So talking about are people checking in frequently with your space and with what you offer? So are people like engaged and committed to your space? Do they come back even if they have like busy times? And I had a really interesting conversation with Alex Hillman recently on a forum. And he said, and he's for many years in the business, he said, like, my ultimate goal is that people, when they left my space, that I come back to my space. This is like my metric for the ultimate member retention. And I found it super interesting. And I, after thinking about it, I can only say that I really much support it, because it expresses the essence of the true co-working community, that a community is never fixed. It's like a organism. It's like growing. It's like evolving. And it doesn't have to be the same after many years. You know, it can change, like image can change, and activities can change, and members can outgrow, and that's not bad, you know, if members outgrow, because it's necessary in order to evolve.
It is. There's nearly every co-working space I've been a member of in London. There's probably about 20 people in London that I have met or sat next to in a co-working space where I was a member. And then we all kind of ended up connecting and moved to different spaces together, then moved back to a space. Mm-hmm. And it is magic. And you couldn't put that in a business plan. Like, yeah, you couldn't write it down and say, well, here's what we're going to do. But
the only thing what you can do is, like, I heard this term recently, I have to introduce it quick. I asked someone, okay, how do you manage community? And they said they are having introduced their own human scale. And I really like this term, because on one hand, it's like based on like metrics and planning. But on the other hand, it's like, okay, it's like, what you define your own human scale, what you define your own goals about member retention and growing. And there are just some things happening that are not working out for small communities. And there are other things that are not working out for big communities. So it's, in the end, it's always to define your own individual human scale for your co-working community so you can grow.
So just before we wrap up, what is, like, as you see the co-working universe in Europe at the moment, is there something you have a hope for the way? This is a huge question, sorry, but like I should have thought it out better. But like, as you run around, you know, seeing people online and have conversations in real life, what's your hope for like the next year or two of mm-hmm. Of the co-working industry mm-hmm. in Europe?
I have different kind of hopes. So one hope is, as always, to be as much diverse and inclusive as possible. I think Europe should work way closer with America, with Asia, with all the co-working movements we see there. I think it's super important, intercultural exchange. And also, I hope that we manage to bring co-working to the next level, talking about setting up some policies. Recently, I was having a look into Canada, where they already founded like the first co-working health insurance. And these are like topics that are like really forward thinking. And I hope that we can all connect and to develop a more diverse and inclusive co-working ecosystem.
That's lovely. Sometimes people say more desks, but that was very in line with my heart and soul. We're going to put links in all the show notes, folks, but where can we find you online? Where's the best place to connect with you online?
And your work? Can always find me on LinkedIn, of course, if you Google my profile, or you find me under papus.agency. That's my small co-working and community agency.
Lovely. Thank you very much for your time today. I really enjoyed our pre-conversation and our actual podcast there. Folks, if you go to the European Coworking Assembly website, which is coworking.eu, I should know that by now, we have this delicious pop-up that comes up and says, join our email list. And on there, we email you stories from around the coworking assembly, like the rural co-working, the co-working library, the podcast that you're listening to now, and blogs and all the events that we have going on in different cities. It's a great way to connect with other people across Europe who are building the co-working movement. Thanks very much for your time today. Be careful out there. It is a jungle.